glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, April 18th, 2023. I'm your host, Donna Leland, and we welcome a frequent contributor to the program, Debbie Griffith. You can hear Debbie and her program, Everyday Matters, right here on WLUJ. Welcome back, Debbie.
I love talking with you. I love talking to those who are listening, even though I don't know if you'd say it like that, Donna, but I just love connecting with people and being in an encouragement. And as I speak and share whatever God has put on my heart, sharing it with you, I'm encouraging myself because I'll read things that I've written and think, that's really good. Not that I'm really good, just God is so good to me that he would give me this, and now I can share it with somebody else.
I love that. Now, I've been enjoying your Everyday Matters, digging into this week's, a couple weeks ago, April 8th, and I've just been hitting on some really good themes. And let's talk about the change theme. You talk about being on the floor, crying out to God, and just saying, Lord, you know, I'm in the situation, but something needs to change. And so you decided you wanted to be changed. What brought that about?
And I would say I didn't necessarily decide I wanted to be changed. And I'm in plain here, Donna. I wanted the other person to change because they had the issues, not me. Mm. However, like you're saying, I recognize that I could not change the other person. So in order for me to go forward in forgiveness, I had to get, or I just, you know, being the drama girl I am, I got down on my knees and God, I just lifted my arms up to him and I said, change me, change me. And I actually sang that song, you know, change my heart, oh God, make it ever new. Make me be like you. And you only can have that happen, that change happen to you by the power of God and his Holy Spirit. So that's, I was just so struggling with, what unforgiveness, which can lead to bitterness. And I didn't want to get a bitter root to grow, because then that's just nasty. So I knew that in order for me to go forward, I would have to ask God to change me and then be willing to allow him to do that, whatever that looked like. And it's not like a zap that, you know, instantaneously happened, but it was pretty quickly that within the next couple of hours, I started to release all this anger towards the other person and just saw God's love for me and that he wanted me to walk forward. And really, that's the whole gospel, is receiving God's forgiveness and his grace, and then being able to extend that grace to others.
Now you say, know the answer to the question, can God be trusted? Why is that question important?
Well, because we are not going to necessarily feel it. We're not going to necessarily see it. So that's where faith comes in. Can he be trusted? Is he true to his word? Of Romans 8:28, that all things, not some or most things, but all things will work together for the good because we love him and he loves us. Can we trust him? Can we trust that he will redeem all things? Like Job was able to say in Job 19:25, my redeemer lives. Can we say that too? Can that be trusted? So it's really faith that what we do not see, what we do not feel, can God be trusted? And once we can answer that, then we can go forward. And we might not have all the feels. And that's hard, because you think that if he can be trusted, then he's going to change the way you feel. And I think that comes, but it's not as immediate as maybe we'd want it. You know, like, I just want to feel better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that makes so sense. So, yeah, I'm kind of hearing what you're saying is that you're here in this middle of this, you know, dilemma. It's not fair. You know, something did
it's
happen.
Not fair.
And that your emotions are recognizing that was wrong and you've been wronged. Mm-hmm. And so you're growing this bitterness and anxiety. And then really it is, like you said, trusting the Lord that if we humble ourselves, like you say, swallow the pains, swallow the pride, and see what God is going to do in and through it. So here we are wanting that other person to change. And you say that the only real solution was that your heart be changed. Talk about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just think I just really want to reach out to that person listening that say, but you don't know my situation. You don't know how hard. Oh, you know, I think I do, because it's not just this one time person that I had to work through forgiving, who would never apologize and still has not. I had to work it through with other people in my life, like my dad, whom I really, really love and I appreciate, and for all the things he's done in my life. And he'll be 85, and I think he's coming closer to understanding of Christ. But there are those people in our lives that we love and we care for, but they've done things or said things that have hurt us. And how do we go forward in that kind of pain? We cannot do it on our own, and we cannot change the other person. We can only have God change us. But I think it's important to know, Donna, that in that, you might have to create a boundary. Just because you release that person, take that person off your hook and put them on God's hook and ask him to change you, doesn't mean that you don't put a boundary in place of, I have to guard my heart in this place, or I can have interaction in this way, but not in this way. You know, so there's times where you have to ask God's wisdom on how to go forward. That doesn't mean you forgive and then everything's necessarily forgotten. To me, I'm really working through that with something else. And I realize that forgiveness is letting that person go, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I've forgotten the hurt.
Yeah.
What God's asking me to do is not keep rehearsing the hurt, not keep recalling the hurt, because that's how he forgives. He forgives as far as the east is from the west. He says for his name's sake, he will remember our sins no more. Now, that doesn't mean he has memory failure. He's God. He could send someone to the east and the west to retrieve the sin. He could grab it himself. But for his name's sake, he chooses not to recall it, because sin stands in the way of a relationship. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive me my sins as I forgive those who sin against me, I actually word it a little differently, and I say, God, forgive me my sins, and may I forgive others the way you release and forgive me. Because my way of forgiving is just to continue to recall the hurt. And so sometimes when I'm like struggling and I will have a memory come in of some hurt, and I'm like, God, help me to take that. Help me to release it. Help me to set it down. Help me to eject the CD that keeps playing of that hurt. Because that's not doing anyone any good. Unless you get to the place where you go into counseling, and I've done this too, and mediation, and you work with that person, but that may not be, that's a big step. If it's a deep relationship that you may need to do that too with, but otherwise there's lots of little things that happen that we just have to let go of the offense and not rehearse the hurt or hurt the pain.
So
right?
A solution, and that's a real solution, Debbie. Maybe people are hearing you speak and saying, oh no, there's no way that could be a solution, because I need to hold on to the hurt. I need to hold on to the memory, because otherwise I'll be hurt again. They'll get away with it. I'm not letting them get away with it, because I'm going to remember it. And even if everybody else's memory gets memory hold, I know what happened.
Right.
And it's like our job. You know, our job is to remember the pain that they imposed upon us and somehow make them pay. No, they're not paying anything.
That's right. I'm so glad you said that, because that's exactly it. I mean, it took me so long to realize that the reason we hold on to pain, and just me personally, the reason I was holding on to it is exactly it. They don't deserve to be let go.
Yeah.
If I let go, that means they got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly, I don't, you know, often hear people articulate it so quickly as you did, but it's so true. But really, as you just said, Donna, that the unforgiveness is like drinking poison or hatred towards another, drinking poison, and you're waiting for them to keel over, but the poison eats you.
Yes.
It rots you.
It really, really does.
I just feel like someone, from the inside, it's rotting you. And I feel like someone listening right now, just go ahead and cry. Like, just cry. It's okay. Like, it's so hard. You've been holding on so long to this bitterness and hurt. And just ask God now, take it away. Release it. Change me. Change me to forgive like you forgive, God. Let me release it to you. Let me take this person off my hook and put it on yours and cry and let it go. Tears are cleansing. Mm. It's okay. You are... God loves you so much. He sees your pain. He's not surprised that it happened, and he has a plan in place of redemption for it.
Mm. That's a good word. Wow. Another thing is, don't you think, Deb, that we have spent so much and invested so much time in all the pain and the misery and the going over it again and again? It's like, well, wait a minute. I would have wasted that 20 years, that 30 years, that 40 years of recalling their sin toward me. So, you know, it's like I've invested so much in this. It's like, you know, buying a really bad vacuum. It does not work. It doesn't. But you hang on to it because you paid $3,000 for it. So you made one mistake. Yeah. And now you continue to live with that mistake. And we don't have to.
I love that example.
We can have
a good example.
A new day.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's 2 Corinthians 5:17 that in Christ we are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And maybe that every day you have to remember that. Like, today is a new day. I think it's an Anna Green Gables movie where Anne says, today's a new day with no mistakes in it. Mm. Or, you know, tomorrow's a new day with no mistakes yet in it. Mm. But every day is, until we're in heaven home with Christ Jesus, we're going to have struggles. You know, we're going to have something on some level. Nothing's perfect.
Mm-mm.
So
maybe, but that next time that thought comes into our head that says, that happened, he did that, she did that, we can say to ourselves, but wait a minute, yesterday I forgave them. And I don't have to bring that into my today. You know, just making that moment in time to say, nope, I like you said, took them off my hook and put them onto God's.
And I would add to, like, something that has really helped me, because then if you don't, say you release it to God, but then you if you don't replace it with something else, you are going to think about it. So I, when I read and just began to really understand, I mean, it's in other places, but the scripture that I went to is Luke 6:28, and it says, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. So when I really recognize that, that to be obedient to that scripture verse, bless those who curse you, I'd be like, I'm not going to be blessing this person that hurt me. Like, and we think of blessings being material things. Like, I'm not going to bless them so they can have an all expense paid cruise to, you know, the Bahamas. I'm not going to bless them that they have good fortune. And God's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. How did I tell you what that blessing would be? Maybe the blessing is in a hardship, so they come to know me. And I'd be like, yeah, that's the one I pick. I pick curtain one, hardship. You know, and so there again, can God be trusted? Can you trust him with what that blessing is? You don't have to worry about anything else but following that scripture. So I am saying to you that the person that's listening now and saying, okay, what I don't want to think about this, but I can't help not think about it. What do I do instead? I just would repeat over and over, God bless. I'm just going to pick a random name. God bless Julie. God bless Julie. God bless her. God bless her. And I start to rehearse, like, well, then she did that. And then she said that. And then she gossiped about that. And that was that. And maybe I should correct that. Maybe I should send that other email and that text message. Maybe I should tell three more people to get on my side.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, believe me, Ben, I've done all of it, so I know how it works. And God is saying to me, are you going to trust me? Are you going to follow my word? Bless that person. So over and over, just saying, I bless this person. I bless my dad. I bless him. I bless him. For some reason, I would always have a trigger on the stairs going up from the laundry room. And I remember it was the third stair from the top. And I would just have, I don't know why. Nothing happened with my dad in my house by the laundry. But for some reason, it was just like I'm going up into the, up out of the basement. And I would just start thinking about it. And I remember just saying, God bless him. God bless him. God bless him. And then I, you know, some things would start to roll around in my head and I would just stay it. I'd have to do it for like a good 10 minutes sometimes. Just go around the house doing the rest of the stuff. God bless, God bless, God bless, until I, you know, maybe at that time a child was like, Mom, We just had chicken 2 days ago. Don't think you could put chicken again in a hot dish or tacos and call it that. We know that you're using that leftovers. We're not doing leftovers. You know, now I have to, God bless that child. God bless that child. Yeah. You know, so I'm telling you, Donna, that scripture is super powerful for replacing, instead of the hurt, replace it with his word and obedience, because his word is himself, and there's nothing more powerful than his word, himself, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior.
That is warfare. It's taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and you've given us some beautiful verses to bless those who curse you. And that is amazing. That's the answer right there.
I'm giving you what God has said in his word. That's the thing. I'm not giving you positive thinking or little, I mean, it's positive, but it's not, here's five steps to a better you and the best life now. This is like how to live on this earth experience, which is difficult, to go forward until we have the hope of eternity that he has put in us and that we spend eternity with him. But in the meantime, life is messy, and we can have our mess be our ministry, or see the blessings he gives us in the messes, or we can just trudge through and complain and lament. And in the book of Lamentations, this is a real book, Donna. Obviously, Jeremiah is lamenting the whole time, pretty much. And then you get to chapter 3, around verses 24, 25, and he goes, just wait. This I remember. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercy is new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But you read up until that, lament, lament, lament. So again, I am not Super Susie Christian over here sharing with you like, yeah, I got it all down, just ask me. No, I'm saying I have gone through so many hard places in my mind with relationships, with, you know, just health, whatever it is, like all the stuff. And the only way I go forward in hope is trusting God and trusting his word. That will make the difference. That is what the difference is. Not Debbie Griffith. Debbie Griffith telling and encouraging you, know Jesus, know his word. And I honestly have started, I had this really good habit of being in the Bible every day consistently. And it doesn't matter how long, just as long as you're in it. And so what is the first thing most people do, including Debbie Griffith? You would, by your bedside, pick up your phone and look at it. Look at your text messages, look at, and you think, then I'll do this. No, you get sucked into that phone vortex, you're done. So here's what I do. Read, go to the throne before the phone. Go to the throne before the phone. So I can't get to my Bible fast enough so I can get to my phone sometimes, to be honest. Like, I will just go into the living room, where my Bible is, and it might be just two verses I read. And the Psalms are really good for that, for a quick fix, you know. So I'll just, okay, I'm going to read two verses in Psalm. I end up reading more usually, but it's just the point of I get my feet planted firmly on the ground of how to go forward in my day, and it's a game changer. I know my husband, and when my kids were younger and living, you know, they're adult, four adults, and not living with us anymore. But I could tell that they could tell when mom has been to the throne before the phone. And so that's something. And also just before the phone became even a thing, or the internet. I mean, that's when I memorized most of my scripture before. So that's a whole nother, you know, probably conversation about internet and phone. But honestly, if you can just start just every day, just something, just some feed on his word, feed on the manna. Just like the Israelites needed manna every day, and they couldn't store it up for more than one day because it would be stinking maggot infested. So we too have to have manna every day. And then we get, just like I was saying in Lamentations, his mercy's new every morning. You'll get fresh manna the next day, you know, fresh from his word. That's the way you do this life, in a way that you're going to be able to survive. Because I'm telling you, the alternative is just a harder road.
It is. It's harder. So difficult. Now, Debbie, you've done such a service in that you do give us your everyday manna in your blog. Every day matters. And you've made it easy because people can go online, debbiegriffith.com, and they can sign up to get in their email box on Monday all five of the week's devotionals.
Yeah. And again, I want it to be an encouragement. I don't want you to be, I do want you to be encouraged by Debbie Griffin. Of course I do. But it's an encouragement for you to know, like, this is what I can do too. I can go and read his Bible, God's word, and for me personally, and look at stories that he has changed my life in, just like Debbie is sharing her stories that his word has changed her life in. That's what Everyday Matters is. It's taking a scripture verse and applying it to a real life situation in my life. And that's what I want you to do.
Yeah. And you give us great verses to think on. You pack it full of wonderful scripture. And I appreciate that. So maybe someone, if they're looking for a beautiful devotional to sit and drink their morning coffee with and to contemplate and meditate, this could be a really, really great option. And it's all free. It's online. Now, you also have an option where they can hear it read by you in the Everyday Matters format.
Yeah, that's super fun, too. So you can read the transcript of the Everyday Matter airing on different radio stations throughout the U.S. and Canada, I should say. But also, there's a little, highlighted, says listen, and you can just click on it and hear me. And maybe you enjoy my voice well enough. No, I'm just saying a lot of people, don't read books anymore. They just listen to audio. So this is an audio option, too.
That's great. And we do air it here on WLUJ. So Debbie's an important part of our program schedule. Well, dear, thank you again for jumping on and spending time with us and just letting us know that we matter and that we can be a part of your Everyday Matters.
Amen. Thank you, Donna. Appreciate you.
Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends. We've been enjoying Debbie Griffith of Everyday Matters. Hey, coming up tomorrow, as always, Pastor Jason Schiffo will be helping us understand the Word of God. And they're going to be talking about the Great Commission. So I hope you'll be tuning in. That's tomorrow on Mark and Friends, right here on Great News Media.